morning. It's lovely to be here. A life that counts. It's up on the screen. Great. I want to take your mind back to 1966. And you're all going to think I'm going to talk about the football. Absolutely not. Not. Because in 1966, I was 5 years old. There I am. Look at that. Wasn't I cute? That is me, 5 years old. I had just started school, and I well remember my teacher saying to me, saying to the class, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And I was super keen, and my hand shot up, and I said, Miss, please choose me. Yes, Andy. I said, I want to be either, wait for it, a policeman, or, wait for it, a robber. Well, I have to say, I never grew tall enough to become a policeman. And as for the other, this is being recorded. You really don't think I'd admit to becoming the other, do you? Well, it was when I was 11 years old, God said to me, I want you to become a Baptist minister. I started training in 1983, and then on July the 26th, 1986, I was ordained as a minister, which means that 2 weeks today marks the 40th anniversary for me since that ordination. That call on my life has given me an awesome sense of meaning and purpose, and today I want to honour God and praise God for his faithfulness to me over that amazing journey that it has been, the privilege of that call, but his provision for me every step of the way. In the good times, there's been lots of good times, as well as in the tough times, and there's been some of those as well. And when I was ordained, there was a verse of the Bible that took on particular significance. And that was the words of Paul found in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, which says this: however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. And it's that one verse that we're going to spend a few minutes reflecting on this morning. But let's just put it into context. Paul is coming towards the end of his third missionary journey. He's heading back towards Jerusalem. The year is round about AD 57. He docks at a place called Miletus. Miletus was about 35 miles south of Ephesus. And of course, Ephesus had been a place that was dear to Paul's heart. He'd spent lots of years there. Lots of time there. He'd left his young prodigy, Timothy, to be involved in overseeing that church. And from Miletus, he calls the leaders of the church at Ephesus to join him. And yet, deep inside, he knows, he senses that the path ahead for him was going to be filled with suffering, loads of problems, resulting ultimately in his death. That is the context. And so we're now going to hear the Bible passage we're going to be thinking where that is set within Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 24. Thank you.
From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I've not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prisons and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace.
Thank you. So to explore this passage, we're going to focus on three key words, and those words are purpose, priorities, and perseverance. You're going to get back to the place. Lovely, thank you. So purpose, priorities, and perseverance. You'll see they all begin with P to help you remember them, so that when you're having coffee, I can test you afterwards to make sure you've been concentrating and have remembered them. So let's get straight in. Paul lived with a very clear purpose, testifying to the good news of God's grace. It's reckoned that he potentially travelled between 10 and 20,000 miles in his quest to fulfill that purpose. That was his focus. That was his dedication. That was his determination. And of course, back then, 10 or 20,000 miles was a massive distance for him to travel. And what's more, all over those journeys, he'd always remained faithful to the message of the gospel, and yet always seeking to deliver it, to present it in a way that was relevant and accessible to those to whom he was communicating. Listen to how he expresses that. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22. We read, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. He always sought to be relevant. It's such an important principle for us to take on board as local churches and as individual Christians. How we communicate the good news of Jesus must always be relevant to the people group that we are seeking to connect with. Never diverting from the truths of the gospel, yet making it relevant. And so we find him preaching the gospel in synagogues. We find him proclaiming the gospel out in the marketplaces. And what's more, we find him through debate, seeking to persuade people in the lecture hall of Ephesus and the Areopagus in Athens. Changing the way he communicated to ensure that it connected fully with each of the people and each of the contexts he found himself in. But there's one other word we must add, because underlying all of that was Paul's assurance and Paul's understanding that my message and my preaching were not, I'm quoting now 1 Corinthians 2 verses 4 to 5, my message and preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Do you see, Paul recognized that he was just a tool in the hands of the master craftsman. He adapted his message, but underlying it all, true transformation would only come into people's lives because of God's power at work in their lives. Paul then totally focused on his purpose, testifying to the good news of God's grace. Our first P. Secondly then, Paul lived his life with courageous priorities. Paul says, I consider my life worth nothing to me. It's really important that we're clear as we hear those words that Paul is not devaluing life, but he's prioritizing his eternal purpose over against temporary comfort and welfare. You see, Paul had wholeheartedly taken on board the words of Jesus, his Lord and Master, who had stated when he calls anyone to follow him to take up their cross daily to follow him. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. When faced with the choice between comfort and calling, it was his calling that always won the day. Paul was no fair-weather Christian. Paul wasn't a consumerist Christian, just in it for what he could get. No, his commitment to work for the kingdom always trumped his personal convenience or safety. And why? Two reasons. Number one, because Jesus was his number one priority. And secondly, because he wanted to share this awesome good news of the transformational nature of God's eternal kingdom. Sharing that message was what drove him. Sharing that message was what got him up in the morning. Sharing that message was what energized him. Testifying to the good news of God's kingdom. That invitation of the kingdom, to the kingdom, a kingdom taking men and women from a place of futility to purpose, darkness to light, despair to hope, suffering to peace, loneliness to being part of the family of God, and experience that superabundant life that only comes through a relationship with Jesus. This was Paul's priority, doing all he could to share this amazing good news, even more important than life. That's our second word. First word was? Very good. Second word. Priorities. We come then to the third word. Paul showed committed perseverance and finished well. He says, my only aim is to finish the race. Now, any athlete knows, got any athletes here this morning? Any athlete knows the race is all about the finish. You can start really well. You can push through when the muscles burn. But it's the finishing that counts. This was Paul, determined to finish. Determined to complete the task. Determined to persevere to the end. Nothing was going to deflect him or stop him. Finishing well. And so we find about 5 to 6 years later, knowing that his death is imminent, he can honestly write to his young prodigy Timothy, I have fought the good fight. This is 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Paul persevering to the end for his Lord and Saviour. That's Paul. But the big question is, what does this say to us? I believe that every sermon should conclude with everyone being able to answer the so what question. That's Paul, but so what? So what? When in my last church, Louise and I would walk home from church because we live relatively close. Every Sunday, I'd say to her as we walked home, okay, you've heard these pearls of wisdom from your husband, but so what? What has God said to you? So we're going to go back to those three words. And I believe that often it's just one thing that God says to us from his word, and it will be different for each one of us. So let's go back to those three words. And the first of those words is the word, as you all know now, purpose. As citizens in God's kingdom, we all have a purpose. Purpose. What is your God-given purpose? On the one hand, there are generic purposes which apply to us all. And the New Testament outlines a number of those generic purposes. But on the other hand, God gives specific purposes to each and every one of us. A specific part to play in the work of his kingdom. I love the way Paul expresses this in Ephesians 2 verse 10, where we read this, "We are God's handiwork." Isn't that lovely? "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." Our purpose flows from who God has designed us to be, from who we are. Wow, isn't that awesome? We're not just a random cog in this great big machine of God's kingdom. No, we've got a purpose, every single one of us. And it's so important then that we discover our purpose and then commit ourselves wholeheartedly to fulfilling it. I want you to do something for me right now. Where you're sat, I want you to turn to the person next to you. I want you to look them in the eye and say 6 words and mean it. God has a purpose for you. Right now, do it, please. And the great news is, nobody passes their use-by date. Nobody becomes obsolete in the work of God's kingdom. Sure, our purpose may evolve, our purpose may change. Different stages of life, it will change. I was chatting to Dave before the service, and he shared how old he was. And I thought immediately then of Caleb in the Old Testament. Caleb was 85 when God gave him a new purpose, the biggest challenge of Caleb's life. Dave, you're a youngster. However old we are, a purpose. What is your purpose? And maybe you're sat there thinking, Andy, that's fine, that sounds really nice, but I don't know what my purpose is. And maybe God wants you to go away today and spend time prayerfully reflecting on that question. Or maybe you've got a close friend in the church and you want to say to them, look, could we grab a coffee so we can talk a little bit about this question? Or maybe you want to grab Gerald and find a time to grab a coffee with him so that he can meet with you and pray with you as you seek to discern your purpose for now in the work of God's kingdom. Purpose. Or maybe God is saying something to you this morning regarding priorities. Priorities. The Christian life isn't a hobby. Church isn't a convenience store which we pop into when we need a pint of milk or a bag of crisps. It's a priority. And the call to follow Jesus includes a cost which prioritizes him over everything else. When we accept Jesus as our King, we're saying, I'm giving you Jesus' central place in my life. My mind goes then to the words of Jesus when he says, seek first the kingdom. Not second, not third, not when it's convenient, not when it suits you. Maybe God is saying something to you relating to priorities. Maybe something displaces Jesus from that primary place. And this morning, God wants to say to you, recommit, refocus, reprioritize. Maybe something to do with deepening worship and prayer. Maybe about meeting with your brothers and sisters within the church. Maybe about sharing your faith with others. I don't know. But maybe God is saying something to you this morning about priorities. And then finally, perseverance. Maybe that's God's message to you. And this morning you need encouragement. The Christian journey can be tough. And you need encouragement to keep going. To keep going. You need that great crowd of witnesses cheering you on. Keep going. Don't give up. Maybe temptations are seeking to get in the way, or opposition from folk, or just life's challenges. Life can be tough. I know life can be tough, really tough. And this morning, God is saying, keep going. Keep going. Finish well. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we allow God to speak. In fact, if the musicians could come and rejoin me at the front, because in a moment we're going to sing a response to this. But first, let's just ask ourselves these questions. What is God saying to me this morning? And let's allow the Holy Spirit to embed that into our hearts and minds. Maybe just that one thing, the answer to the so what question. Lord, we thank you for your word. We want to thank you for the example of Paul, for the purpose you gave him, for how he prioritized the work that you'd called him to, and how he persevered. And whatever it is you're wanting us to hear from you this morning, may we be not just in tune to hear that word, but may we have that commitment, that desire to respond to your word. That we'll be obedient to whatever it is you're saying to us today. And as we continue to pray, perhaps the music could just start with the song we're going to sing in a moment.